Coming up this week on the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast, SeaWorld San Diego announces a single-day kids ticket offer and substantial attendance revenue gains for 2018. The Disneyland Resort announces the food offerings coming to its tropical hideaway. And the Disneyland Resort executes Order 66 on a popular Star Wars show. Plus, a little bit later on, we're going to talk about our experiences at this year's Halloween events, including Not Scary Farm, Halloween Horror Nights, and Six Flags Fright Fest. It's 100 Floors of Frights. This is the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast for the week of October 8th, 2018. Visit our travel partner, Magical Vacation Planner by Caris, for help planning your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, and Aulani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Caris on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Caris, C-A-R-I-S-S-M-I-L-A-N-O. Good morning, everybody. It is tough to talk today. Hello. Welcome to the latest episode of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from around the Southern California theme park scene and beyond. Brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. I am Chris Ramirez, host and executive producer of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. And this week I am joined by associate producer and Knott's Berry Farm reporter, Brandis Strautman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
Alternate John and Knott's Berry Farm reporter, John Strautman. Hey, John.
Hey.
And joining us once again this week, a photographer and Universal Studios Hollywood reporter, Aaron Owens. Welcome back, Aaron.
Thank you so much.
It's so good to see you. All right. Well, it is a slow news week is what it is. And so it is, it's all Halloween all the time. It's coming up on the middle of October. So we do have a couple of news stories. One is really interesting about SeaWorld. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But mostly today's show is going to be focused on our trips to the various Halloween events. Aaron, you went somewhere interesting last night. You're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Oh, yes.
Where'd you go last night?
I went to Fright Fest.
That's awesome. So we're going to do a little bit about Fright Fest. And Aaron has traversed the Southern California landscape in the last 12 hours or so. So she went up to Valencia for Fright Fest, and we were down, further south than that, to come and do the podcast. So we're super glad that, Aaron is here to join us and, gonna cover something that we don't normally cover. We don't do a lot of Six Flags news here, but we're going to, talk about Fright Fest. And so I'm really excited to hear about that. I just wanted to remind everyone that there is still time to enter our anniversary giveaway. You can tag us in an Instagram or Twitter post, the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, and I'll give you all of those @s and hashtags and things to tag us in later. So tag us in an Instagram post or retweet us on Twitter. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel and tag your favorite video on social media. And I'm going to open up a new way of entering. You can also send us an email with your name to our email address. All entries must be received by November 1st, and one winner will be drawn at random on Facebook Live on a future show. Just to remind you of the prizes, we do have the copy of Skipper Tales, or Skipper Stories, the True Tales from the Jungle Cruise, written by Dr. David Marley, a frequent guest on the show. We also have a Universal Studios Jurassic Park coaster that we bought on our last trip to Universal Studios, and Aaron was there for that. And so we have a YouTube video coming back of our farewell to Jurassic Park, the ride at Universal Studios, and the pair of Snoopy birthday ears from a couple of months ago on our show. So we got some really great prizes. We may add some more stuff. So don't forget to enter before November 1st. All right. So does anybody else have anything? Guys, how was your week?
Just busy with life.
Yeah, busy with life. Me too. It's been really super busy. I actually ended up staying up really late last night because I have been super busy, and this is clearly not my job, like my actual paying job. My actual paying job has been really busy. So I was up till really late last night. We record in the mornings over the weekend. And so I think we're all just a little, we're all a little punchy today. And, again, I think Aaron is the one that had to drive the furthest. And well, I don't know if you went to bed the latest, but you definitely we're all a little sleepy this morning. So, okay. Well, then if there's nothing else, I really want to get into our news stories and I really want to get into our discussions. So it is time for park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland.
There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A.
Welcome, one and all. Y'all come have a ball. Things are very fine, riding on the old Blackberry line.
All right, well, park hopping is our new segment, and I don't even know who has the SeaWorld story.
World story.
All right, so
I think you purposely gave it to me.
Yes, we gave Aaron the one with all the hard words this week. So, I did. I think I did give you the SeaWorld story on purpose because we all know your feelings on SeaWorld. So. All right, well, Brandis, let's kick it off. What is going on at SeaWorld?
Well, SeaWorld announces substantial attendance revenues and revenues gains for 2018.
I believe that when we celebrate life and creatures big and small, we discover connections that stay with us forever.
Discover a place where worlds connect. SeaWorld.
SeaWorld Entertainment, in a good news announcement delivered well ahead of its formal earnings report, said Monday that revenue and attendance at its theme parks soared 10% over the last 9 months. Across the 12 parks, 1.4 million more guests passed through turnstiles, while revenues grew by 90 million. Similarly, among growth was reported... Similarly, strong growth was reported for the third quarter, which represents much of the crucial summer season. The announcement comes on the heels of news more than a week ago that the Orlando, Florida-based company and former CEO James Acheson will pay more than $5 million to settle federal fraud charges that they misled investors about the impact of the 2013 anti-captivity documentary Blackfish had on the company performance. The latest results are consistent with a recent rebound SeaWorld has been experiencing in attendance following a years-long slump as the company tried to overcome a backlash fueled by Blackfish. Backlash fueled by Blackfish. That's like a tongue twister. The stock also
careful how you say that one.
The stock has also experienced an impressive resurgence up to nearly 117% so far this year. Over the last 3 months, ending September 30th, attendance jumped 10%, SeaWorld reported, with 700,000 more guests visiting the parks. That follows similarly positive results in the second quarter, which captures the start of the summer season. For the 3 months ending June 30th, attendance grew by 290,000 or 5% compared with the same period a year earlier. In related news, SeaWorld San Diego will be offering a single day ticket, kids free offer, from now to October 31st. You can get a free child's ticket for ages 3 to 9 to SeaWorld San Diego with each full paid adult ticket and save up to $84.99, valid for visit now through October 31st, 2018. This product requires a one-to-one ratio of paid adult to free child items to be added to the cart to receive this offer.
All right. Well, we all know Brandis's feelings on SeaWorld. One of the videos that I'm getting ready to release over the weekend is my recent trip to SeaWorld, and I have some of the new Shamu show that debuted last year. Aaron, have we ever talked to you? You're from the San Diego area. Was SeaWorld a big part of your growing up experience?
No, I've only gone once in my life.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Like even living down like in that area?
Literally, I've only gone once in my life.
Is that like a personal choice or like what? Was there a reason?
No, we would always just go to Disneyland, It was not a big thing.
Just never on your radar.
No,
that's really interesting.
I am proud to say I've never been to SeaWorld, as a child.
You've never been ever?
No, we went to Marineland as a child,
okay,
but just once, and then they closed.
Yeah.
But no, never SeaWorld.
Okay. We grew up going to SeaWorld. I've been to SeaWorld, obviously less than the Disney parks before, but I mean, I've probably been to SeaWorld a dozen times, and the last time that we went, we did the offer where they you can buy a park ticket and then kind of upgrade for, I think, another $20 to the annual pass. So, I mean, we had a really good time the last time we went. We've talked about it extensively, some of the things that I think that they're doing right and some of the things that I think that they're doing wrong. One of the things I think in Brandis' story was talking about how they're pricing, you know, they're doing a lot of pricing stuff to draw people in. It appears to be working. You know, John, do you have any feelings on SeaWorld?
I went to SeaWorld once, and it was a long time ago, but I would go again. I mean, I don't know. It seems like it'd be fun.
Yeah. John and I went on a Ghost Rider at Halloween Haunt.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe John and I will go to SeaWorld.
Yeah, there we go.
Cool. You know, they've got the Halloween thing going on. They've got their trick-or-treat little, you know, event going on. They've got their new SeaWorld area, which I was reading an article in the LA Times, got just trashed in the LA Times when it first opened. It's a bunch of like spinning rides and like really off the shelf kind of like carnival stuff. So I don't know. But, all right. Well, SeaWorld looks like it sounds like it's doing better. I mean, they certainly had a hard time after the whole Blackfish incident, and, their stock has gone up tremendously, and they got a new CEO. I guess the CEO of SeaWorld, like the company, used to be, a park executive at SeaWorld San Diego. So, I mean, they do some good work, but it's a controversial subject sometimes. You know, some people have really strong feelings about SeaWorld. Some people don't. I go because I like animals. My wife likes animals. So, you know, we try to stay out of that stuff. But all right.
Is Sesame Street still there?
Sesame Street is still there. Yeah. They opened up the new.
I have to boycott Sesame Street.
Right. Because they're associated with SeaWorld.
Do you watch Sesame Street anyway?
Well, I could not buy any of their.
Do you buy a lot of Sesame Street?
Yeah. How much further could you boycott them?
If we have another baby, we're not buying any Sesame Street themed anything.
Okay.
I'm going to get pregnant now just to boycott
them.
Just despite John, we still have
an Elmo doll somewhere in there.
Yeah, we got that from Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah.
I mean, throwing it away isn't going to do anything, but we should throw it away just because, I mean, how old are our kids now?
You can't throw Elmo in the trash.
Your kids are already too old for this big free kid deal anyway, right?
One is 11, one is 7, so one could get in for free.
But see, all we have to do is convince him to say he's 9, or, you know, make him stand over there.
Yeah, he's tall. I've seen him.
He's
not fooling anybody.
I don't
think
he's going to pull it off.
Yeah. So to get the free ticket, you just go online, but you have to pay full price for the adult ticket, which is like $85. Now, I will say this. I don't think SeaWorld is worth $85. I think we paid $60 for it, and then we paid like $85 total for our, you know, plus another $20 for our annual pass. So, you know, I don't know how much a kid's ticket is, but yeah.
So well, they say it's a savings of what is that, $84.99.
Yeah.
So whatever $84.99 divided by 2 is.
40. That's too early to do math. I'm not doing math. Thank you, Brandis. John.
Yes.
Let's give this a shot. What is going on over at Disneyland?
Disneyland executes Order 66 on Jedi Training Academy.
Does anybody get that joke, by the way? Star Wars fan?
I don't though.
Order 66 is the embedded order that the stormtroopers have, and the end of the prequel trilogy, that it's the order that gives, like, eliminates all the Jedi.
Oh, okay. They take them out.
To take out all the Jedi.
So they take out all the Jedi.
Chris, somewhere we have a listener who got it.
Yeah, so you have like one listener who was like, I know what that means. Mm-hmm. So to fully explain that super nerdy joke, continue, John.
Okay, no worries. Friday afternoon, WDWNT.com reported a rumor reported by a CM who holds the role of Jedi trainer at the popular Jedi training trials of the Temple Show in Tomorrowland was coming to a close. While the cast member who was named in the WDWNT article, but who won't be named here, didn't provide any details. We can confirm through independent sources that the show will be training its last youngling on November 4th. According to sources, the decision was made shortly after the fiscal year on October 1st. The show, which was extremely popular, as described on the Disney Parks blog, Now that the Jedi have been driven to distant corners of the galaxy, eager recruits must secretly train in faraway ancient temples. Under Jedi tutelage, rookies will learn how to use the Force and their wit to wield mighty lightsabers against the Emperor's most feared warriors. The show allowed guests ages 4 to 12 to participate in the show, and was featured in a viral YouTube video in which a young girl chose to switch to the dark side.
Did you guys ever see that video?
No.
I'm going to post that video on our Facebook page. So basically, I'm going to continue on because there's a second half of that story. But so basically what happened is that Walt Disney World News Today, went on a cast member's Instagram page, and that cast member had divulged the show is coming to an end. And what I disagree with that Walt Disney World News Today did was that they used a cast member's name. So it was, I mean, even though she was putting it out in a public forum, like me personally, I chose not to use that cast member's name because we don't know how much Disney actually has announced that this show is coming to an end. Obviously everybody knows it now. Friday, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook was blowing up with the news that this show is coming to an end. So that's the first half of that story. The second half is that, this show is coming to an end, right? This is a very, very, very popular show. People line up in the morning. They do the extra magic hours to reserve a spot for it. So
wonder why it's coming to an end.
Well, let's read on.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Guests wishing to participate in the show before it goes to a galaxy far, far away should observe the following.
I wrote that.
That's good.
Good job, Chris.
Yeah, very cool. You must be between 4 and 12 years of age to participate. All participants must be present at the time of registration. Please register at the kiosk located outside the exit to Star Wars Launch Bay. If you are unable to locate the registration kiosk, ask a cast member for help. Registration begins when Disneyland Park opens for the day, including extra magic hours or magic morning. Availability is limited and offered on a first-come, first-served basis. What is not known at this time is whether the show will continue at its location in Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World.
And apparently it will. Like I was reading several things that say that, so there's the version of the show in Florida at Hollywood Studios, and it doesn't look like this is affecting that at all.
Gotcha. It is also not known if this is connected to the recent cuts in entertainment at the parks or if it's part of the larger preparation for the opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and the rumored redo of Tomorrowland. So you don't, I think they, you don't think they'll bring it back over there?
I don't think so because there's so much going on in that area. There's going to be so many people and this takes up a large, so where this is, where this show is presented is the Tomorrowland Terrace stage right outside of what used to be Interventions and right outside,
The launch bay was now launch bay
and Tomorrowland Terrace restaurant. There's a stage that comes out of the ground. The video is one of my favorite things. If you guys have never seen it before, just all you have to do is Google search or YouTube search, little girl goes to the dark side. And there's this little girl who's about 6 years old. So the show is that they're training to be a Jedi, right? And so, you know, they got Darth Vader coming out. They got Darth Maul coming out. And, somebody says something about, oh, you know, does anybody, you know, resist the dark side? And the host is like, resist the dark side. Does anybody want to change over to the dark side? And this little girl who's about 6 years old goes to the dark side. Yeah. And they're just kind of like, okay, what, you know, now what do we do now?
That would be our son.
So it's actually really funny. I'll put a link to it on our, there's a link to it in our, if you go to our website, thevacationlandpodcast.com, you can actually read the story and there's a link to the video in our, website page. But, second half of that is that the Disneyland has, or the Disney in general, has been making a lot of cuts to entertainment, mostly because they're spending a lot of money on Star Wars Land on two coasts, and it's gone over wildly over budget. So one of the easiest things for them to do is to cut money from the entertainment budget. And the other thing that they're doing is that they're purging all of the Star Wars stuff from Tomorrowland right now. You know, it's they're cutting a lot of that stuff because it's going to be, you know, a lot they want people to go into the other land. So, you know, ideally I would love to see them get rid of Star Tours in Tomorrowland and move that to the other side. So, you know.
Oh, I thought you might get rid of it forever. And I was going to walk around the table and hit you.
Hashtag controversial opinions. But yeah. So has anybody seen Aaron? Have you seen the show?
I have not seen
it. The Jedi.
I've walked past it, you know, a few times, but I haven't went out of my way to go stand there and wait for it.
Clearly,
it exists. I've seen that video that you're talking about with the little girl is super cute.
Yeah.
It is really funny because they're all like, oh, what do we do?
Yeah. But like, Aaron doesn't have small children. I don't have small children.
No.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I appreciate Star Wars, but I'm not that big of a Star Wars fan that I would go out of my way to go do that.
Yeah, the entire time, like, I was watching Aaron and just watching her eyes glaze, just glaze over, like, talking about Star Wars.
I've seen, like, a few minutes of it, like, eating at, like, Tomorrowland Terrace or whatever.
Yeah, like, you sorry, that was my phone, not me. You stop and watch the, you stop and watch the show, but it's not your kid in it, so you don't.
Right, so who cares?
Yeah. So you stop and you're like, oh, that's neat. And then you keep going.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty much my reaction. And again, this is a very popular show with families that have like young children, boys and girls. And a lot of times this show will get sold out, you know, sold out quotation marks, you know, before the park even opened because it's eligible to guests who are eligible for extra magic hours. So there's always these posts on, you know, the forums and on, you know, different websites and Facebook. How do I get my kids signed up for Jedi Training Academy? How do I get my kids? They used to just do it like, you know, before, like as the park opened, or you could make your reservations like as the day went on. They just stopped doing that. They just let it like at the park open, you have to be there and sign up and boom, it's gone. So I know a lot of people are going to miss this show. A lot of people were super upset that it's gone. I'm not one of them. I don't know. You know, I think it's a cute show, but I think that there's a better, you know, better use of that space, and all that stuff's going to be over on the other side of the park anyway.
Wonder what they'll do there.
I don't know. Yeah,
maybe create a better flow so it's not always crowded.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. I'm like, it's a bit of a bottleneck over there.
It is
when the show's going on.
Yeah, when the show is going on, like it's impossible to get through that like Tomorrowland Terrace dance, like the dance floor area. So. Yeah. I'm hoping they do something that, you know, opens it up a little bit. Maybe they'll do another dance party. Disney loves their dance parties.
Glow with the show.
Yeah, glow with the show. So Disney rave. All right. Well, thank you, John. And finally, we're going to go over to Aaron, and Aaron's going to tell us about Tropical Hideaway.
Earlier this year, we announced that guests will soon discover a new area Adventureland at Disneyland Park called the Tropical Hideaway. Today we have a bit more information to share on what is coming to the former home of the Tahitian Terrace and Aladdin's Oasis. This new spot will serve as an exotic marketplace for discovering extraordinary eats from all corners of the world. A variety of unique food and beverage items will be available for adventurous palates of all types. With its proximity to the Jungle Cruise, you never know what appetizing goods will be available in the Trader's Market.
I just want to point out, I didn't write that. Disney did.
Okay, because I was going to say, I'm like, there's other things in proximity to this new Tropical Hideaway that is not Jungle Cruise. Imagine tempting your taste buds with one of the many market eats, such as a warm steamed bao bun. These unique bao buns will come in three different types. Spiced vegetable bao, kaffir lime chicken bao, and bulgogi beef bao. You can also try delicious chilled ramen salad or grab a tropical inspired snack. And for a sweet treat, you can try sweet pineapple lumpia, a spring roll filled with pineapple and sweet cream cheese.
I've actually had that. Have you had that? Have you been to Pandora?
Yes, I was just about to say, I'm like, that sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
It is actually really good. And then after picking up a snack or two, choose a spot on the open-air dock, soak in the sights of the Jungle River waterfront, sit back and listen to the musical sounds of the tropics, all while experiencing delicious new tastes. After the sun goes down, flickering torch lights will illuminate the area, transforming the Tropical Hideaway into an enchanting nighttime venue. I'm very excited for this thing, by the way.
I am super excited about it as well, mostly because Aladdin's Oasis is gone.
I've never did Aladdin's Oasis.
You never did the show?
No, I mean, you know, you see that it exists, you see people standing outside of there, but I never knew that.
So,
when it would run or like anything about it, really.
So a great story that I think I may have told before is years ago when I used to work on the Jungle Cruise, the Aladdin show would run. And so we would come around there. So the way that it was that the Cave of Wonders, where they were having the show, was right in front of or in close proximity to where the Jungle Cruise boats come around the corner out of the jungle and back to the dock. And there was always this one particular sound guy that was always really just super grumpy and cranky and angry, and so he would come over to our lead at the Jungle Cruise, and he would get angry at him. He would yell at us that we were being too loud and we were ruining the show. So finally, one lead who was kind of notorious for just not caring, looked him straight in the eye and said, look, we've been here for, at that time, we've been here for 45 years. We were here before you and we're going to be here after you. And when they canceled the show, I went, damn, he was right. So,
yes.
But I'm John Yersin.
Oh, no.
Okay. So I am super excited. A, that Aladdin's Oasis is gone, because that was, it was okay. It was a dinner show. I missed the Tahitian Terrace, which was the old show that was there and had the waterfalls and it had the Tahitian dancers. And so that was just a really cool, albeit very 60s kind of show there. But the Aladdin's Oasis, they tried to do a dinner show and then that didn't work. And they just did the story tale adventures and that lasted for a few years. And then for a while, it was just like where you went to the bathroom and got your...
It was just extra seating, because yeah. I know my friend and I, we would get food and just, they would sometimes just let you in there and yeah. just sit there. So we would sit in there. It's so, actually a very nice like area.
Yeah, it was cool. It was
there's a lot of space in there.
There's a lot of seats. And so, the way that they describe it, I'm super excited about it. And, I know that the Tiki Room is closed now, and one of the reasons that the Enchanted Tiki Room is closed is so that they can work on that back patio as you exit out of the Tiki Room. And what it's going to do is it's going to lead you either into the walkway or into, tropical hideaway. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little bit more better flow. The Tiki Room won't dump out into the walkway, you know, anymore. A couple, you know, 150 people or so. Just so I'm really super excited about the food and the food. Hopefully. So what was some of the lumpia sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else catch your attention on there?
I mean, the bao buns, of course, are always delicious. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see if have you had the cheeseburger pods at in Pandora?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so those are basically like cheeseburger bao buns.
Okay.
I really hope that the food there is better than what they were serving. So we were really excited, and it's in the video that we took at Mickey's Halloween party. Karen and I, we were really excited about the spam musubi, and I love spam musubi. And we went to Bengal Barbecue, where this is like a new thing on their menu for Halloween or for the fall. And it was the most disgusting thing I've ever had. It was
awful.
And it was like $7.
I'm curious about like the ramen salad.
Yeah.
Because with theme parks, it's either going to be amazing food or just like, what were they thinking food?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you go watch our video on the Pixar Fest food, we tried they had a chilled ramen salad similar to that. They were supposed to have that as part of like the Pixar Fest, like food special offerings. And we actually waited 20 minutes in line over DCA and they were like, oh, sorry, we're out. We've been out for, you know, 8 hours. So, but yeah, that.
So then it must be good.
It was probably good.
Because, I mean, ramen is really starchy, so I'm just curious, yeah. When you chill it and put it in a salad, how does it hold up?
Yeah, oh, it's ramen, not chow mein, because, like, chilled chow mein's really good. So, but, yeah, that spam musubi that we had, it was, first of all, it came wrapped in cellophane, and we're like, okay, so obviously it's cold, it's not warm. You guys ever had cold rice, like, that was 2 days old?
Yeah.
You know, that's what it tasted like.
That's how
like.
You get food poisoning, Chris.
Yeah. I don't very rarely. And then it was just disgusting. And I'm really hoping that sounds amazing. And even if the food sucks, I'm still just going to sit there and watch Jungle Cruise boats go by all day. So
there you go.
You know, either way. And the lumpia is really good. I've had the lumpia. I'm assuming it's the same lumpia from.
I'm so, yeah, it's probably going to look very similar.
Yeah, it probably tastes
really hungry.
I know, we always do that. Like we record this show like right before lunch and we always talk about food. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Aaron. And thank you guys for doing that. So let's move on. We're going to talk, move on into our segment. And I'm really excited because this is probably going to, depending on how much we talk about, it's going to be a really short show, which is fine. We all have gone in the last couple of days. It was the last weekend that we went to Halloween Haunt, right?
Yes.
So that was a week ago, and we're going to do our best to recall things and talk about our favorite
moments. Should discuss the food, too.
We should discuss the food. We will discuss the food. We actually made some notes while we were there. John and Brandis and I went to Halloween Haunt. But I think we're going to start with you, Aaron. Yeah. Going to start off. Let's talk about Fright Fest, because Six Flags is not something we typically cover a whole lot. I'm going to read some basic fact sheet and a really interesting thing that they're doing. I don't know if interesting is the word, but and then you just give us your impressions of it, because mm-hmm. you're a big I know you're big into like the Halloween stuff and the mazes and like the different you know, and your super theme park fan. So, Fright Fest, presented by Stinkers, is back Silver Select days, September 15th through October 28th at Six Flags Magic Mountain. Six Flags says, be prepared to be scared as zombies and ghouls take over the park. You can enjoy thrilling rides and activities during the day and a frightening evening after the sun goes down. Six Flags Magic Mountain is celebrating thrilling chills during Fright Fest 2018 with the 30-hour coffin challenge. Have you guys heard about this?
No.
Yeah, this was all over the news. Six coffin dwellers will be chosen to spend 30 hours in a coffin from 12 p.m. on Friday, October the 12th, until 6 p.m. on Saturday, October the 13th. And here's the basics of that. Coffin dwellers will be allowed to bring a friend along during Fright Fest operating hours, but they must brave the non-operating hours alone. Anyone who gets out of their coffin for any reason, with the exception of the designated bathroom breaks, will be out of the contest. Coffin dwellers must be 18 or older and have a valid photo ID. They cannot have medical conditions that would make lying in a coffin for 30 hours. I can think of one medical condition that would make you lie in a coffin for longer than 30
irritable
hours.
Bowel syndrome?
Dead.
Yeah.
A risk to health or well-being. Like, that's a, like, dead is a serious medical condition that would make you lie in a coffin. Must sign a waiver at check-in. They must be able to lie completely flat and dead still. And they must provide their own pillow and sleeping bag or blankets. Six Flags will provide deluxe, slightly used coffins.
Whoa.
Well, all meals in bed, aka coffin, 1 6-minute bathroom break every hour, phone charging stations for posting panic-filled moments on social media, and random terrifying visits by the Fright Fest freaks. You guys want to know what you win for 30 hours in a coffin?
Yes.
Okay. $300.
Oh, okay. I was all excited to try it.
A 2019 gold season pass.
Cool.
And an express haunted maze pass.
Now, here's the thing. So if you can have your phone in there, then that seems like that's easy.
For 30 hours, though?
You just get some good shows to binge watch. Get some Netflix going.
Right? I don't know. Like, and coffin, I mean, if it's...
You just sleep through it, John.
I would just sleep through it.
Like, can I bring my Kindle and read?
I don't know.
Does it exclude any electronics?
How long it takes
electronics?
Me to read each of my Harry Potter books.
They're going to give you charging stations, so I'm assuming you can probably...
They say you can post and stuff.
So if I could bring my Kindle, I could totally do that, and I just read through the Harry Potter series or finish one Game of Thrones book.
I'm really curious how they're going to get air, because coffins are... I mean, if it is indeed a real, actual, slightly used coffin, like, coffins are sealed.
Yeah, they have to, like, poke some holes
They probably have
a little window so they could check on people.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you guys caught it, how often they have bathroom breaks.
Yeah, every hour you get a six-minute.
Oh, every hour. One 6-minute bathroom. So maybe they check every hour to see if you're dead or not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure you can, like, there's got to be an escape button. Like,
yeah, but then you lose your...
Right. Yeah, maybe.
If you're freaking out.
You lose all $300.
It's still a random number, $300.
I mean, it's Six Flags, so that's all they can afford.
It should be. I mean, because it's 30 hours, so it should be $3,000, but they say it as $300.
Right, yeah. Like, I, yeah, you're
$100
right.
$100 for.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go around the table really quick. Me, I'm out. I'm not claustrophobic, but I'm out.
If I could have my Kindle and it offered more money, I would do it. And it has to offer more money because I'd have to get babysitting.
I don't. Yeah, $300, like Garen said, it's just a random number. Maybe that's...
Don't forget the gold pass.
Like, all the employees threw in a dollar.
There you go.
Yeah, like somebody was like, okay, we have a budget for this, and what's our budget? I don't know, about three.
No, they took the change that falls from people's pockets.
Yeah.
How much have we collected over the year? Yeah. So, all right, let's go around the table. Aaron, are you out? Are you in or out?
I don't think I'd want to do that. No. I have no desire to.
Yeah, it just sounds... Brandy?
More money on my Kindle, I'm in.
All right. John?
I like it. I think I'm in.
All right.
Yeah.
So, clearly people are going to do this. I was reading an article the other day that talked about what an incredibly bad idea this is.
And yeah, it sounds like a terrible idea. It's
a horrible idea, but, there are clearly people who are going to do it. So I'm really curious. We'll talk on our next show. Like, I'm sure there'll be some media posting about who won the Fright Fest Coffins Day. But Aaron, let's talk to you a little bit. Tell us about your experience at Fright Fest.
It was fun. I got to the park around for. So with Fright Fest, you don't need a separate, they don't like kick you out during the day and get night people in.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
It's like you, I have an annual pass, so you can just go in and you can, you know, still ride the rides. The only separate admission is for like to get a wristband to actually go into the mazes. So you have a regular, general admission wristband, and then you can get an express access pass, and that gets you into the front of the line.
Okay. So, but you can, so if you, like, if I went and bought like a ticket tomorrow, or, you know, if I went and bought a ticket for the daytime Six Flags experience, mm-hmm. I can stay mm-hmm. and do the mazes, or do I have to pay separate to do the mazes?
You have to pay separate to do the mazes.
Ah, and what does it cost to do the mazes?
So this year it looked like, the maze, just general, for that was like 27, I believe. And then, front of the line or express access, as they were calling it, was, 57 or 52 if you have an annual pass.
That's not bad. It's like not expressed at Knott's was like, you know, $85, $90
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty expensive.
Yeah. So that's cool. All right. What do you think of the overall experience?
It looked like they were having some budget cuts because it seemed like there were far less scare actors than they used to, but a whole lot more security. There was a lot of security people walking around. I mean, it's Six Flags, but it just seemed like more so.
The security was the scare actors.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like, look, bright yellow vests, but yeah.
We have a pocket problem, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where all the money for the scare actors went. More
pretty much. It seemed a little bit better lit, too, which normally, because Six Flags is very dark at night, usually. Uh-huh. And I was just like, oh, I can see this area. I mean, there's definitely some dark areas, but.
Right.
There was one less maze this year as well. There was six, and there's usually a seventh maze over by X2 and Viper, and there wasn't one there this year. So, but the rest of the area, there's usually three at the front of the park over by Full Throttle. And then there's two up on the top of the hill over by Ninja. And then there's one over by Apocalypse on the bottom of the hill in the far back corner. And it's based on like zombies and stuff like that. So, so this year they had, four new mazes actually.
Cool. Do you remember anything specific about them?
Yeah. So they had Hellfest, which they reused their old, props from from the years before. It was supposed to be like you're at a lab and something goes wrong and there's, you know, there's things that get loose and start attacking you. So they reuse a lot of those props there's a movie that came out 2 weeks ago called Hellfest. And I guess some guy in a mask and he goes around and I guess actually like, I think kills people at a theme park.
Yeah. I was going to go online last night and so they just got those like, that's disturbing. Sorry. I just realized what you said.
Yeah. Since this was at Six Flags, I'm assuming the movie was partially or filmed at Magic Mountain, hence why they're promoting it there.
Interesting. What is the name of the movie?
Hellfest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen Sharknado, was it 2 or 3?
No.
You should, because they filmed that at Islands of Adventure in Florida.
Oh, like, nice.
The entire movie is filmed there. All right.
Nice. I'll watch it just for that then.
Yeah. No, don't watch it for like literally for any other reason other than like, oh, that's Islands of Adventure.
Is that movie safe for kids?
I mean, it's violent. It's like people get eaten by sharks, but there's no, I don't think there's anything like
that. So it's safe for Samuel.
Yeah. Like there's like chainsaws and Tara Reid's in it and, you know.
Oh, not if Tara Reid's in it. That's not safe for kids.
But, yeah, so just check. I think it's Sharknado 2 or 3. It's one of them that they filmed at Islands of Adventure. But it's fun. Okay. Sorry. Go on.
No worries. So, that was actually good. They had some good moments in there with Hellfest. It was something with a sewer. Anyways, it was their quote unquote 3D maze where they give you your glasses and everything's in black lit. Cool. And
how did that work out? Because I know how it worked out at Halloween Horror Nights a few years ago with the Rob Zombie 3D maze.
I miss those 3D mazes at Halloween Horror Nights. Oh, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. You know, as my friends were saying, it was like we went back into the 80s or 90s with all the black light, like fluorescent colors going on.
I wonder if that was intentional or just like a result of not having enough budget to.
Who knows? I mean, yeah, but it was still fun. They had some good scares in there. It's, it's Six Flags, so they don't, it's just interesting because I went to Halloween Horror Nights 3 weeks ago now, and then going from that type of quality to Fright Fest, you're just like, oh yeah, I forget how strikingly different this experience can be.
You went from Halloween Horror Nights to Fright Fest. Yeah.
Which is, I've been better the other way around, but it's still fun. Like I knew what I was expecting.
So, I mean, obviously it's, if you're going to go to Six Flags anyway, you have an annual pass.
Mm-hmm.
So does it, would you, I mean, you obviously did pay more to get in, but if you're just like, just a general normal person that went to, Six Flags, is it worth it to pay the extra $27 if you're into like those kind of like Halloween type events?
Yeah, if you're willing to, you know.
I mean, that's a really reasonable price.
Yeah, you know, if you're not going to pay the extra to get in front of the lines, you're going to obviously wait in line for
a long time. How were the wait times?
The waits were too bad last night. I think it's still because it's pretty early in October. I'm sure next weekend will be even more crowded. And a lot of people were heading out around like 11:30. Since I feel like a lot of people were there earlier in the day too, and just like, oh, I'll hit as many mazes as I can and then head home.
Yeah, because you were there earlier in the day.
And I had some friends who were even there earlier and they still were there. Wow. But,
there's a lot of hills at Six Flags.
I told them, I was like, you're going to be doing a lot of walk. That's the thing too. It's like, there may only be like six mazes, but to walk to all of them takes some time.
Yeah.
And then if you want to do rides, which it's very busy to do the rides for Fright Fest. Cause like I said, you can just go into the park and you don't have to go into the mazes at night.
So it's just Six Flags.
So a lot of people, just be like, oh, I want to ride these roller coasters at night cause it's dark.
Yeah. Cause Six Flags normally closes at like 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Not that early, but yes. I mean, it was fun. I mean, they had a new scare zone as well. It was their Witch's Lair, which was different from last year because it's right in front of the Justice League ride. And last year was more like a kind of like a disco party type of thing. Well,
I think I remember because we talked about that last year as well. Yeah.
And it was just, so now this was the Witch's Lair and it was supposed to be a little creepier and they had a bunch of, wooden flats up that you had to kind of walk around in and there'd be scare actors throughout there. And it was just, fun.
We're going to talk about, when we get to the Knott's Berry Farm portion, we're going to talk about, one of their new scare zones that I was really disappointed in.
Yeah. But I was thinking, I want to go back because that new scare zone we walk through near the end of the night when it's most crowded. So if we would have hit that first, it may have been better.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that. And so you also went to, like you said, 3 weeks ago, you went to Halloween Horror Nights. And that's something that I want to do. I don't know that I'm going to make it out this year, cause money, but what did you think of Halloween Horror Nights? We've talked a little bit about this, like offline, like not as part of the show. So.
This is my seventh year, in a row going to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood. And I think this year was better than last year, which was not hard to do since last year. If you talk to anyone who went last year, said they hated it.
I heard that last year, like just listening to other podcasts and listening to people talk about it. There were people last year who were really disappointed in Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
2017.
Yeah. This year was a little bit better.
And what made it better?
I just think some of the mazes were more memorable this time around. I think none of the mazes were as memorable to me, and they're very similar in terms of like the gags that they were doing. I don't know. There was something about the feel of it last year just was kind of disappointing. And I think last year was the first time too that they really cut down on the terror tram from the years before. With the terror tram, the first time I ever went, like, you walked very far in the back lots. Like, of course they dropped you off over by, Whoville, and then you walked through the Bates Motel, and then you would walk up the hill towards the left, and it's just super dark over there. They'd have scare actors around. I mean, this was back in when they would do, like, The Walking Dead
That was the last time I went to, Halloween Horror Nights was when they had The Walking Dead and they had the Rob Zombie like 3D maze, like, and the Terror Tram was awesome because you got to walk the back lot.
Pretty much, yeah. You got to walk extensively through the back lot.
They cut down on that last year.
Yeah, they cut back quite a bit because instead of heading off from the Bates Motel, you just go up the You go up the hill just to get to the Psycho House as opposed to going this big loop back to the Psycho House. So, and then you just go through War of the Worlds and then you're done. And it was just like, oh, okay. That, and it, because it's a lot less of a, you know, pathway to walk, it's also, it's, like, it's LA traffic essentially. You're just like, they just spill you all out with the crowd before. And so you're just kind of having to slowly inch through it sometimes.
Oh, that's kind of disappointing.
And it's a little bit harder for the scare actors too. Cause yeah. Cause then they're trying to get through the horde of people as well. Yeah, like, so it's just like, oh, okay.
Like Brandon said, like that one, the scare zone, the scare area, the scare zone that we talked about, it was definitely later in the night and it was definitely more crowded. So I can imagine like if it's more crowded, then that'd be harder for it's harder for you to not see those scare actors.
Yeah, you see them ahead of time.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then you know where they are.
Or you see people screaming in front of you or
everyone else's reaction to it. So then you know. But it was, the Terror Tram was, it's not as long again this year, but, it was fine. There was a little issue with some of the lights at the Bates Motel. They like, someone hit a switch or something and everything like turned off over there, like the music, the lights, and everything. And we're just like, okay. And then we couldn't, and then they were just making everyone just keep walking forward because the other areas were fine. Just that. And we're like, but, and of course, by the time we walk past it, they've got it fixed and up and running again.
There's some poor 19-year-old that was freaking out about their job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, you would think that like they would, put that in a better protected area than somebody that's going to trip over a.
I don't know what happened. It could have been like somewhere, I don't think someone like, when the guest did it, it could have just, blew fuse. Who knows?
Yeah.
It just was very like sudden. Oh, it's very dark. Yeah. Actually, it was creepier that way, quite honestly.
Yeah. It seems
like you're used to the lights and the music and like the sound effects and everything that gives you some sort of idea. Like, okay, there's going to be people around me, but when there's just silent, you're like, oh, this is scarier.
Yeah.
But, so that was fine. So on the back lot too, they have three mazes that they always put. And this year they had Poltergeist down there. And that happened to be my brother and my dad and my favorite maze of the year.
Was that new this year?
Yes. Yeah. It was new and it was a lot of fun.
You're on the show, John, you should know that.
Yeah, sorry.
It was
to be fair, I don't think we talked about it at all. But yeah. She's right. You should know.
I guess.
So it was a good flow of the maze. There were some good scares in the Poltergeist and they did a good job of. So, when you walk from like one area to the next, there's always like the refrigerator flaps or something, hanging down that you have to walk through. And a few of them are cloth and a few of them are cloth and they were wet that you had to walk through. And it was great, but it was also like, oh God, this is really kind of gross.
Oh, that's what Pumpkin Eater last year at Knott's had these bugs that spit on you and it was so disgusting.
Yeah. There was a lot of water effects at Halloween Horror Nights this year too. There was a lot of like.
Of course there was, because it's Universal. That's what they do.
There was, and they got us pretty well, because there was one, I don't remember which maze it was in, but like, one of the scare actors was apparently like slitting the throat of another scare actor. And from the knife that would like just shoot water at you. So it's supposed to be like the blood. And it was just like, cause you're just watching it. All of a sudden you're just like sprayed in the face. So it was good that they did that. And also with Poltergeist, they had some areas where they made the walkway a little uneven. So it was just like, it was nice having like, you're having all senses kind of, entranced in a way. Cause you're just like, not only are you looking at everything, you're like having to feel like, oh wow, this is wet. Oh wait, from your phone on the ground, like, oh, I have to like move around a little bit. Like,
it's kind of like, cause you're focused on somebody's popping out and scaring you. And then like, some other,
element is coming. Yeah, you have is changing that you're not expecting. So I like that.
That's cool. Okay, and so we talked about that's a thought. Some I've heard people have really responded well to that, and they really enjoyed that. But my question is, and the reason that I want to go to Halloween Horror Nights,
I can guess.
How was the Stranger Things maze?
Yeah.
So Stranger Things maze was the one that we were the most disappointed by.
Oh.
For a lot of reasons. It's over on the right side of Transformers ride. They put it back there where they used to have a Walking Dead mazes back there before they got the Walking Dead maze that's there all the time now.
The permanent Walking Dead.
The permanent one, yeah. Which I thought was a mistake from the beginning, but whatever. They didn't consult me.
why nobody asked Aaron.
Yeah. That's a great idea. So,
also, I don't know if you've heard our last episode where we talked about why The Walking Dead just needs to die. Like literally.
I didn't listen to that. I'll have to listen to that now. Yeah. But, so my first off with the thing with Stranger Things maze, all the other mazes have some sort of facade before you actually go into the, you know, the maze, like, yeah, you know, like some sort of theming. It's like a building or like a set of buildings or something, yeah, that you know that, oh, I'm going through something. This was just in like the back of the house and it was just black flats. And the only like theming they had was like 80s music going on.
No, like waffles dangling from the ceiling or something.
No, I just mean like there's no facade. There's no like themed facade before, yeah, like, you walk into the maze.
Like at the insane asylum one over at Universal or not
paranormal.
Paranormal, right? They have like the big building outside. So there was I would want like their house or
exactly, and
or like there, was what Hawkins National Lab or
nope,
something. Yeah, nothing.
There was none of that. Man. It was just like. And it was very oddly, just the queue to get to the front of the maze also, got cut off by the, so the, how you exited the maze was also how you have to come close to the maze. So there was a lot of, traffic because they would have to stop people that were going to go closer to getting in front of the maze because they had to let people exit. And then they would have to stop people who were exiting. So there was a lot of traffic jam throughout the entire maze.
That seems like really poor planning.
Yes, very poor planning. And the flow of it was just very odd. There's some good theming elements. Like if you've seen the series, especially the season one, you would know of, like, inside the maze, like you would be like, oh, okay, this is, you know, this is their house. I enjoyed the first season. And that was actually the one series I've like really officially like binge watched. Like I couldn't stop watching it because I enjoyed it so much. So yeah. It was a very short maze. It was very short. It was like the shortest maze.
Yeah, it sounds like they just kind of phoned it in, really.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was just like, oh, we should do this. So I'm also going to Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando this year for the first time. So, and I know they have a Stranger Things maze over there. So I'm curious to see if that's, you know, if it's better, if there's anything different. Is it longer? Like, you know, how they formatted it over there versus here.
Wow. So we'll have to have you back on when you come back from that and compare and contrast the two mazes. So mm-hmm. That's awesome. Okay. So Poltergeist favorite. Mm-hmm. What was your least favorite maze?
It's probably just gonna be Stranger Things just because of the disappointment level. I had such high expectations for it.
Everybody is like really hyped it up in their mind that they're.
And it had the longest wait time. Like it was.
Of course it did.
Ridiculously long wait.
I hate when.
It was like close to like a 3-hour wait.
Any company does it. Yeah.
And I was there the second weekend that Halloween Horror Nights.
You waited 3 hours to be disappointed.
No. I always get a front of the line pass. Okay. I go, no.
So other people
waited 15 minutes. Everyone else waited 3 hours.
So people waited 3 hours to be disappointed.
Wow.
I'm sure they were.
Well, my buddy went and he was posting pictures of like that. He was saying that it was really super crowded. Like it was more crowded than usual this year. Did you find that to be true?
Yeah. Considering I was there, like I said, just the second weekend it had opened.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not even October yet and it was pretty busy.
Yeah. He was posting pictures of like crazy lines, you know, like right after opening them.
Yeah. It was busy, but it was, you know, it was overall, it was a lot of fun. I didn't, like I said, and Poltergeist is my favorite. And then I'm not sure what my second favorite was because they did something that was, their monsters maze, which was kind of supposed to, giving it to like Frankenstein and, Mummy, the original like horror monsters were that they did in there. It wasn't House of Horrors, but it was
nothing
beats that. Nothing beats House of Horrors. Yeah. I miss that.
That was a fun one. So, all right, well, cool. Thank you very much, and thanks for your reviews on there. Did you get to eat any of the food, or did you do any of the special other offerings that they had there?
I don't even know if they have any special food offerings during this time of year.
Like they have, I think they have like a. They had some like the upside down slider burger that we were very confused about.
I had no idea that it even existed.
Wow.
I don't normally go to these events to try food. I just want to go to the mazes.
I do. We did. Yeah. So yeah. All right. Well, that's great. That's too bad. I really hate when any theme park company does something where they hype it up a lot and then they just phone it in. Like they know that they can get people in and they don't put in any effort to it. Nope. And it sounds like that's a little bit like what Universal Studios Hollywood did for the Stranger Things maze, which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, because a lot of the thing that was disappointing about the Stranger Things maze was all these scares were like the same type of scare. Like you saw it once and then they just kept doing this over and over again, just in a different place. And you're just like, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah. My favorite.
I get it now.
It wasn't my favorite maze, but I think my favorite like exterior theming that ties into the maze was the Red Barn at, not Scary Farm. Cause it's, although that one random, we'll talk about it later, but that one random guy. But so it's like you go into like the barn that's actually there and it's like the Red Barn maze. And so, but yeah, to not have like anything out there, like just
nothing.
Yeah. That's disappointing. Well, all right. Well, enjoy your trip out to Orlando and we'll see you when you get back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Brandy and John have been waiting patiently here. let's talk about our trip last week to, Knott's Scary Farm. So I'm going to read a couple things just to recap for people that are maybe new listeners. So a overview of Knott's Scary Farm. Please be aware that this is a haunted nighttime event and is not recommended for children under 13. That's what Knott's Scary Farm says. There is no child ticket pricing available for this event, only the standard general admission. Knott's Scary Farm does not offer a no boo pass. I don't even know what that is. Everyone entering the gate is subject to scares.
Oh, I know what that is. Sorry.
What is that?
It's if you like have panic attacks or bring kids or something, they get like a sticker, like "Don't scare me."
Gone.
But like that's really dumb.
Why are you going there?
Because I've seen adults there actually bring little kids. Like they want to go so bad, they bring little kids, and the kids are crying, and they're like, "It's just pretend. It's just pretend. I told you, it's just pretend. We'll get the child out of there."
We saw like at the end of the night, and it was late. We saw like a couple. Really small kids. Yeah,
that's my thing. I just can't stand kids at places like that after 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm drunk now. Your kid needs to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some, like, infants at Fright Fest.
No way.
Night. Yeah.
At Fright Fest? That's Six Flags. That's not surprising. Knott's Scary Farm admission is available for $82 each at the main gate, but tickets are available online for as low as $42. I got my ticket online for... through Knott's Berry Farm for $42. I could have gotten it for, I think, a little bit cheaper than the listed price on Gold Star. But what the deal with Gold Star is you end up paying like $6, $7, $8 in fees. And so it just doesn't matter. Like it comes out a wash. So I'd rather get my ticket from Knott's and know that it's a theme park ticket. So it's going to be fine. But like, I hate paying fees. So I paid a couple of dollars extra to get it through Knott's and it was fine. You can also pick up a coupon from your local Los Angeles and Orange County Carl's Jr. restaurants for coupons to save $35 on regular Knott's Scary Farm admission. Pro tip, make sure to purchase your tickets in advance. Saturdays in October have been known to sell out. Knott's Scary Farm is a special event and requires separate admission. The nighttime event is not included. Unlike Six Flags with a Knott's Berry Farm season pass, regular Knott's pass holders are able to receive a discount on Scary Farm admission or add Scary Farm to their existing season pass. Just remember to check what year you're buying.
Yeah. Brandy.
Oh.
to enjoy all 25 Knott's, nights of Knott's Scary Farm. What did you guys pay with your annual pass discount? Do you remember?
$9 a month. Oh, I thought I was thinking the pass that I accidentally bought for next year. It was, okay, so there was a processing fee, and I know the end total was $104 for both of our tickets.
Okay, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, so there was a processing fee, though. I think it was like $11, $12 or something.
Okay.
So I guess the tickets would be around like $40-something dollars.
Yeah, about what you get it for Gold Star, but probably with less fees.
Yeah, that's what the tickets and stuff, it equals our discount, so it always bugs me.
Yeah. Parking is available for $22 and is recommended that you arrive early. Season pass holders who already have 2018 all season parking pass can use their pass to park during Scary Farm hours. And that's what you were telling me, John, when we arrived there, right? That's one of the nice perks about having the pass and going to Scary Farm.
So much. Yeah. Save you so much money.
Yeah. So that was it. So I, ended up, we ended up carpooling together because John and Brandy have the pass, the parking pass. And so I met them somewhere else off site and we all drove in, which was really nice. I was just going to park somewhere in like Stanton and Uber in, but that was much nicer. I didn't have to do that.
That's not a bad idea.
So thank you.
Before we ate at a restaurant there, before we had parking passes, we ate at a restaurant there and figure since we ate at the restaurant, we could leave our car there and walk over. And that worked that time. But I was worried all night. You didn't get
towed? We got lucky.
Yeah, I was worried all night.
Oh, man. You park at the mall. You park, probably park at the Buena Park Mall and then like take a Lyft or an Uber.
They are super strict there.
Do they really?
They patrol like every hour with tow trucks.
Wow. Crazy. Because who goes to, what else is the Buena Park Mall doing?
I know, right?
That's okay.
Other than the swap meet on the weekend.
Right? All right. If you do plan on arriving later, it is recommended not to exit on Beach Boulevard. You can save time by using Knott Avenue or Magnolia Avenue, which is very true. Knott's, Beach Boulevard just backs up for miles. Knott's Scary Farm opens on event nights at 7 p.m. Buffet dinners, which we are a big fan of the pun here, and select Knott's Scary Farm hotel guests are able to get a head start on their nightmares before the event opens to the public. Knott's Scary Farm hotel packages scream and dream with the Knott's Scary Farm hotel package at the Knott's Berry Farm Hotel. Packages include Scary Farm admission, pre-scare dinner, followed by early entry into the Knott's Scary Farm event. Availability is limited, so be sure to book in advance. All right, so let's start with the buffet. What do you guys? What were your opinions on the buffet? Because I have mine, but I want to hear from you guys.
I think it's awesome. You know, there's a little bit of everything there.
It's,
not style.
Yeah, it's hit and miss. I know you guys got a really good rib, but mine was pure fat.
Hit the wrong rib, man.
You really liked the Boysenberry meatballs, Chris, but I found them too sweet.
I already found them a little bit too sweet.
You know, and maybe they wouldn't have been so sweet if I had rice or noodles to put them on.
Yeah. So I think you'll see it in the video when I post a video. We did a vlog at the buffet dinner. So basically, it's like Knott's fried chicken, a salad with the world's longest cucumber slice in there. it's Knott's fried chicken. It's mashed potatoes and gravy. It's boysenberry meatballs. It's ribs. It is the world's toughest. Well, they called it loin of beef or something like that. But the world's toughest prime rib, the world's driest turkey.
I'm sorry, the world's toughest prime rib with the weakest cream of horseradish.
Yeah. And the world's driest turkey. They have nacho chips. They have desserts. The desserts were actually really good.
Yeah.
And like,
the sides were good. There was a pasta salad.
The pasta salad was really good.
Mediterranean pasta salad, mm-hmm. Though I couldn't figure out what was Mediterranean about it. It was still good.
Yeah. I think I had goat cheese, which I think is what, feta cheese. I had feta cheese and that's what made it Mediterranean. Then they had mashed potatoes and gravy. They had food, like coloring dyed, deviled eggs.
Yeah. I was confused by that because it's not Easter. Yeah, they weren't even, I do that for Easter.
They weren't even dyed like Halloween colors. They were dyed like green and purple, like Mardi Gras. Eggs. I don't get it. That's it. Then there's two sides of that. And then there's the desserts, which is like the Knott's boysenberry and apple pie, which, what did you say about it? It's pure, you said it was like pure cornstarch.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have the boysenberry, because the seeds in the boysenberry always irritate my teeth. They have good boysenberry pie. I just can't eat it. I'm that old now. But the apple pie, it was like pure gelatin, not any apple.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. And so, but that's it. Like John and I enjoyed it. We went back for seconds. I think Brandy went back for seconds too, but like.
Well, yeah, I always go back when I pay for food.
Yeah. We went in. So, and I was really curious about why they make you have the admission, because years ago when I used to work there, they used to do that dinner in the back of the chicken dinner restaurant. And so now, like, you, there's a process. You also get a, water bottle, a souvenir bottle, which, by the way, I have yours. I accidentally stole it out of your car.
Oh,
nice.
So I have it in my backpack and I forgot to bring it today. So I'll give it to you next time I see you. Cause I was like, why do I have two water bottles? And I was like, oh, I must have stolen Brandy's cause it was in the front seat.
That's mine, actually.
Was that yours?
Yeah.
We have one. We could share when we go. Yeah.
But, so you get free refills of soda or, you know, juice or whatever, boysenberry punch all night. It's included with the dinner. And so that's really cool. I definitely made use of that. They don't close very well. So if you're putting it in like a backpack or something, be prepared to get soda.
Yeah. Or everywhere. Like I hooked mine onto my fanny pack and it leaked all over my leg.
Yeah. Yeah. My backpack, I only drink Diet Cokes. I don't drink regular syrupy drinks a whole lot. And so, like my backpack was just wet by the end of the night. And if it had been like regulars, I would have to wash it because it would have just been a sticky mess. But, you check in. You go to the register, you present them tickets. You have to have your admission ticket and your buffet ticket. You check in, you go get your water bottle. Then they have a photo spot where you take pictures with a monster, which was really cool. And I think we put some of those up on our Instagram if you want to go check those out. And then they lead you into the park. And it's in the old steakhouse, which was...
You forgot you get a sticker.
Sorry, you get a sticker, which looks like the carne asada sticker at, like, the supermarket on, like, the, you know, packs of meat. It's this bright orange sticker. Because what happens is that they will eventually start kicking out the day guests, and then they see your sticker, and which some people had stickers on from, like, the day before, which I didn't understand.
Which I'm going to try next year.
I totally didn't get that. And so by this point, our reservation was at 5 p.m. And by this point, it's like, what, 4:45, you know, close to 5 o'clock. They escort you. They walk you over to – or I don't think they escort you. You walk in through the back gate by Ghost Rider into the Chops restaurant, which is normally closed. I think they only open it up for special events now. So it's connected to the Ghost Town Grill in the front of the park. And that's where we sat. We actually sat in the seating for the Ghost Town Grill. And our reservation was at 5 o'clock. And then you proceed to eat to your heart's content.
Yep.
Yep. And then they do have beer and wine for an extra cost. And there was no line for that, so that was nice.
Yeah,
the extra cost was not nice.
Right. They have the soda machine set up. And then we'll get to the beer and wine in the park later on and the lines as the night went on. But they have a couple of monsters roaming around the restaurant. They'll interact with you. And we got some great video footage of that. So what we paid for the buffet, do you think it's worth it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the food isn't great. Like, seriously, they should have apologized for that turkey. So the food isn't great, but you get in half an hour early. We got 3 mazes done. We should have gotten 4 done, but that first maze we went to took a while to get in for some reason.
Yeah, that one didn't open right. So you get in like a half hour in the mazes before the park opens. So you're literally the first people going into the maze.
Yeah. So that makes it worth it, no matter how mediocre the food is.
And it was. I will eat pretty much anything. And I did, because I went back for seconds. It was pretty mediocre.
I didn't just go back for seconds. I got 2 plates each trip. So, no matter how mediocre the food is, the cost is worth the early entry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and the refillable soda all night.
Yeah, that saves you like $4 like every single time. And so, you know, like $3 or I don't know what soda costs. I mean, it's like between $3 and $4 every time you buy a soda. So like that alone is worth the price of the buffet. John?
I thought the food was fine. I mean, I didn't see what was the big deal about how bad it was. But then again, I'll eat anything too.
I'm like really rethinking all the compliments you've given me on my cooking.
Don't take that away from yourself.
But, and so I agree. Like the food is not great, but what it
gets.
The
point was to get full so that you had energy.
Energy for the night. And then you get in and we actually got to go on. I talked about it earlier. We actually got to go on Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And we went in through the side gate. We didn't have to go through the front.
Yeah. There was no line. We jumped right on.
No line. Just hopped right on. Like we could have gone multiple times if we wanted, but.
Oh, we should have.
And yeah, we ran into, somebody who we introduced to the show because Brandy's doesn't do, a lot of.
I get motion sickness.
Yeah. So John and I got to go on. And then by the time we got out and talked to this, you know, the person who we introduced to the show, then it was time to get let in.
Yep.
And that was really exciting because it's a crowd of about, I don't know, 150 people or so that's just outside the back gate that leads to the back.
And they're not rude. Area.
Yeah, they're not. No, everybody was super nice.
Because when I've been waiting for Not Scary Farm to open when I don't have early entry, you're like, people are pushing into you. They're getting mad at you and you're like claustrophobic smelling everyone.
And that's one of the things I noticed about the evening, except for one incident in the Calico Saloon, which we may or may not talk about later, but
sorry,
Brandy's picking fights all night. Everyone was super nice. Like the employees were like super
everyone but Brandy.
Brandy's just looking for trouble. But so then we got to do 3 mazes. Which 3 did we get to do, Brandy?
Oh, I can't remember the name of the first one at this moment.
It was Paranormal Inc.
We did Paranormal Into the Depths.
The Depths.
And what was it? Was the new one?
Oh, it was Dark Entities.
Dark Entities.
That's what we did first, right?
We did that one first. And so
we did, then we did Into the Depths.
And Dark Entities was like, I don't think that they were ready.
Yeah.
because we actually ended up waiting outside Dark Entities like past the time that everybody else was going into their mazes.
Yeah. So yeah, that was, I felt like they should have given us a free line pass for another ride or something, yeah, though that didn't seem to be working for other people.
Okay, yeah. We'll talk about things that are not worth the money, afterwards. But, yeah, that was great. So, and I really, it's been about 15 years or so since I've gone to, Halloween Haunt at Knott's Berry Farm. And so, like, they have kicked up their game in the last 15 years so much. The first three mazes we went on were incredible. There was no wait. So it's like we got to like go through and, you know, you're not watching people get scared in front of you. Like it's actually people that are scare actors that actually get to surprise you. And, they got all three of us really good on several occasions. So, you can check out, we're going to put up a YouTube video of our trip to, Not Scary Farm, in the next couple of days. But, yeah, so we got to do three mazes. And then what do we do after that?
After the mazes, then didn't we run to the zombie one? What's that?
Infected.
Infected.
Yeah.
And then we did Dark Ride because those are the busiest ones outside of the new ones and Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Infected is my least favorite.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was so amazing when they first did the zombie encounter and you had to get a reservation. That was amazing. Yeah.
And we'll go through and we'll rank, cause I have a ranking of our mazes. Okay. We'll go through and we'll rank our favorite to our least favorite to favorite mazes. Because my favorite really surprised me. It really, really did.
I'm just trying to guess which one you probably put.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious too, because I know my favorite. What's your favorite?
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that at the end. That's our big, like, that'll be a big reveal. So basically what I told John and Brandy, we all kind of agreed is like, you know, when you're driving down the freeway and you can feel that wave of traffic behind you, because that's what it was like. Like when it was like getting on the freeway at just the right moment. So that extra time that we got to do those extra three mazes was perfect, because after we went over to Dark Ride and we went over to
Infected,
and Infected had a line, Dark Ride had a line, but by the time we got out, those lines had doubled in size.
Yeah.
And those lines when we got in were just like 15 minutes.
Yeah. I think the longest we waited was like, we waited like almost closer to 30. Like they said 15, but it was closer to like 20, 30 minutes for Infected, but I wouldn't have wanted to wait any longer for that maze than we did. But by the time we were getting out of things, it's like it had doubled in size. So we were almost nearly done with the entire, like with all of the mazes.
Yeah.
By like 9, 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons we drank so much wine that night, is because we hit so many mazes. Usually I don't want to stop for anything extra, not food or anything, because I want to get my money's worth.
Right. And we did. We took our time. Like we got some boysenberry beer and some wines at the Calico Saloon. Brandy picked a fight. It was great.
At a saloon,
right?
At an old Western saloon.
So it was themed is what it was.
A themed fight.
It was a themed fight. So nobody got thrown off a balcony. It was fine. I'm teasing her, obviously. But, okay. So, I mean, we got to watch the hanging.
Which I've never done before. I've never sat and watched that.
Let's talk about the hanging.
Okay.
What were your guys' impressions? Because Brandy had the quote of the night when we walked away from that
I'm
thing.
Like too old to get most of it.
Yeah, I didn't get it. And I remember loving the hanging.
Yeah.
You know, from, you know, 15 years ago.
It was like, I should have like texted my son or my daughter and been like, what, who is this person?
Yeah, it was okay. It was still worth watching.
It was, totally worth watching. We got in there, and I think the other part of that made the evening enjoyable was that we really did seem to get in front of everything before it got really busy. So we got to, my only problem with the hanging was where we were standing in that guy that was 7 feet tall who was
right
in the front row.
Oh, see, I had another problem. I had this really extremely loud woman in front of me making loud, like, you know how something funny happens and somebody has to repeat that exact thing and then laugh? Like, she was so loud with it. It was just like,
she was in your personal space bubble too.
Yeah, that's why I put my wine glasses, they're plastic, don't worry, my wine glasses behind her feet just to see if she'd like.
And you get to walk around, with your, you know, your booze and, so yeah, so the hanging, I remember it being a lot smarter. There was a lot of like butt jokes in this one. And, I got, because I work with young people, I got a lot of the jokes. A lot of them I didn't get. Like there's a lot of Cardi B jokes and like, you know, I don't know, Justin Bieber jokes. And I don't know. Yeah. It was clearly not for me.
Yeah, I think I got the Roseanne joke and the Roseanne Paul.
Logan Paul.
Yeah. And Childish Gambino.
So, spoiler alert, if you have not seen The Hanging and you plan on doing it, fast forward about 15 seconds. Okay, last chance. All right. So, they were going to hang Roseanne. They ended up hanging Logan Paul instead, which was stupid to me.
Yeah, I mean, it makes that was such a long sense time. Because of why he's disliked right now, but at the same time, they're saying time going ago. Into the Suicide Forest, which they have a maze for that. That's worse than racism.
That was such a long time ago. Like, who remembers that? Like, I barely remember that.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised about that.
Aaron, have you ever seen The Hanging at the Halloween Haunt?
Yeah, last year when I went.
What'd you think?
It was all right.
Yeah.
It was one of those where it was like, I could see how it probably used to be a whole lot better.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, everyone's offended by everything now, so.
Well, that was part of the joke with the hanging.
So I
know
I've read some comments online about this year's hanging.
Yeah.
Versus years past. And they're expecting it might not last too much longer.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably really tricky now.
Yeah.
That's why Bill and Ted's show is gone from Universal. Yeah.
So I'm sure you've read. So part of the joke in the writing this year was about how everyone is offended by everything, and that, you know, they couldn't do the hanging anymore. I don't know how much. Like I said, it was a lot of like butt jokes, and I was like, okay, it's fine, I guess. There was a couple of references I didn't get, you know, because I'm not that age.
Because we're outside of their demographic.
We are outside of their demographic, which is really.
But we're the ones
sad.
With the money,
right? They should be playing to us.
Well, they got their parents' money, so. Joke's on you.
That's true. So, anyways, but it was fun. I enjoyed seeing it. I don't regret seeing it. We just walked away like with the thought like that clearly was not.
We had the time for it, so it didn't interfere with our.
It didn't cut into any maze time,
and I didn't have to pound my wine to do that one.
Oh my god, that was So that was the best video of the night is watching. So we go to Pumpkin Eater, which was a great maze. So two things that I hate. I hate flickering lights like. You know, Resident Evil style, and I hate bugs. I hate bugs. And so the two scariest things that I saw was the Trick or Treat maze, which has like a flickering flashlight, and the Pumpkin Eater maze, which has giant bugs.
Now, last year, those bugs bit on you.
That grossed me out so bad. I didn't even need them to spit on me. It was fine. Anyways, so. And we went over to Pumpkin Eater and they were like, sorry, you can't take your wine in there. Brandy was like, I spent like $8 on this wine. I'm not going to throw it away. So, could watch.
I pounded it Brett Kavanaugh.
Like a frat boy, man. That was impressive to watch. So, all right. Well, do you guys have any other impressions? So talking about the scare zone that we did earlier, I don't even remember what it was called. It was like Dark Lake or Sinister Lake or.
Something like Terror Lake,
but no Crystal Lake, but that's Halloween. That was one of the new things that they were like, touting this year. And, I was not impressed by it at all.
Yeah. It was just another foggy area. So the Hollows actually this year didn't seem as scary. Last year it was great.
Yeah.
But they moved a lot of what they had in the Hollows to the new scare zone. So I don't think there's as many scare actors there.
Yeah, there was not.
Because last year the raven that was tormenting John was over in the new scare zone.
Okay, gotcha. So yeah, that was the other area I didn't find as scary as it had been in the past, where it was the Camp Snoopy area.
Yeah, that was the Hollows.
There was the Hollows. Yeah,
Which is perfect because Pumpkin Eater is right at the edge of it, so it's perfect. You exit Pumpkin Eater, go through there, and they had all these themed scary animals and
Pumpkin Eater is like right at the beginning of the park. So I don't know that people realize that it's there.
Yeah, it never has and it's scary.
We just walked right on except for watching Brandy like pound the wine. So,
and it smells like pumpkin.
It does. It was super gross. It's like,
not like white girl pumpkin. It smells like real pumpkin.
Not like pumpkin spice. Yeah. I walked in. I was like, it smells like pumpkin. And Brandy is like 10 feet in front of me. She goes, it totally smells like pumpkin. It's disgusting. So, all right. Well, I really enjoyed it. Like I said, that scare zone was so much that I really want to go back next year. Like I really am looking forward to going back next year because.
Well, we will be back many times next year because I accidentally bought the season pass.
a year in advance. So go back and listen to the other shows if you want to hear what happened to Brandy when she tried to buy her season pass to Knott's Berry Farm for 2018. Final impressions. What you guys compared to, because you guys have gone to Halloween Haunt a lot. Compared to other years, how did you guys find this one?
You know, I think it was a lot more enjoyable because we had a friend with us that hadn't been forever. Because, yeah, we go every year. Trick-or-treat is always the same, except last year they added the flickering flashlight. Paranormal is always the same, so it's nice to experience it with, because you didn't know what was going to happen in Paranormal, and we did. And it was like,
oh, that's great.
So it's like we're watching you to see your reaction.
Yeah. We'll take Aaron with us next year.
That's totally fine. Yeah. Like I said, I've gone last year, so I remember some of these mazes from
buffet.
Last year.
Okay. We'll do the buffet.
We'll do the buffet. We'll go
You'll get mediocre food.
Yeah, but you get to go in early and like ride, just like ride that. Because when we came out of those three, because those three mazes are in the like the backstage area.
Next time we'll do trick or treat first.
Yeah. Yeah, because we waited a long time.
And plus it's designed that you start with trick or treat and that it exits you right out to dark entities, which exits you out to paranormal. It's like, so if you follow instead of, you know.
Right. Yeah. Talking about things that are not worth it. Let's talk about their front of the line pass.
Yeah.
We talked to some people who were waiting for, I believe, trick or treat. And this was at the end of the night, maybe around 10, 11 o'clock at night. And for what they charge for their, I think they oversold their front of the line pass.
Well, it wasn't just that. It actually got out that for the disability pass, you don't need any documentation or anything. So you could go to Knott's and be like, I have panic attacks if I stand in line, and they'll give you the front of the line pass. That was really spreading fast online. I mean, I said something to John about it too, and before we even went, and there were several people that did, it's called the Blue Pass or something. And there are several people that did have it, as well as the people that paid. So yeah, for trick or treat, we waited like an hour, was it? And, or less.
No, it was more.
For trick or treat, we waited about an hour for trick or treat.
Yeah. And then the front of the line pass people were waiting 45 minutes.
Yeah. And it's in a really crappy, like, backstage, like that line, like the extended queue is in a really crappy backstage area between, like, you know, storage area and
Ghost Rider.
So it's super loud. You're trying to,
and
like,
it smells like throw up in certain spots.
Yeah. It smells like, yeah, there's like,
yes, I remember that from last year. Honestly, I remember trick or treat and it did have the longest wait because we had a front of line pass for all the mazes last year, which I still would do again, but for that particular maze and attraction, it just, for whatever reason, they did not know how to get the flow going for it at all.
Part of that is because they have to hand you the flashlight.
Yeah, so there is some time.
But they have to hand you guns at the zombie at infected, and that line moved fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we got there earlier in the night. John and I usually skip that because it's such a long line and not worth it.
Okay. Yeah. So we talked to some people, and does anyone want to look up like how much my computer is not working right now. Can somebody look up how much the front of the line fast lane pass is?
Okay, Google. How much is a Fright Lane pass at Not Scary Farm?
Your phone has no data connection.
No. It tried.
What is it called? Fright Lane Pass is $70 and, I can't recommend it. Brenda, you were saying something about the buffet. You think it's just better to?
Yeah. Cause if you get the buffet, you get those four mazes in before everyone else, then move against the crowd and hit all the other mazes. You'll only have to really truly wait in a long line for like one or two mazes.
Yeah. So yeah, we really did ride that wave. Before we go, I've created a list, 9 through 1 of my favorite mazes, and we're going to do this really quick because we're going to wrap up here. But, so my number 9 was Shadowlands. I threw my back out because the guy scared the crap out of me. But other than that, it was a super boring maze and you're watching like Knott Avenue, like in Buena Park for the whole time. John, what was your number 9?
I can't believe I forgot it again.
Infected.
Yeah. I was saying, so I screwed up the recording from when we paused the last time. I was telling John that that maze really kicked my butt because I watch a lot of Walking Dead and I think like, hey, I'm going to kick this maze's butt. And then 20 feet in, I was eaten by a zombie. So,
done.
But you didn't like that one because you said it wasn't scary.
It could have been the flow of traffic there, but nothing popped out and scared me on that one.
Yeah.
I did find running through the subway scary, but that was.
Yeah. And you also didn't get to know your count. Like, we got to, like, we know how many zombies we killed. Like, you forgot to.
Yeah. I saw that some of their colors were green. I know I hit some, but my gun didn't show me a count.
Yeah. They give it, like, when you turn your gun at the end, they give you your count. All right. My number 8 is Red Barn. Or, Brandy, what was your number 9?
Well, my number 9 was Red Barn. So
Red
no.
Barn, yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of that one. Like the random, like, preacher man guy outside is like, I don't know, that was super random. I didn't get it. Whatever.
Maybe it's to make you feel less like cattle.
Maybe.
Going into a barn in that long line.
All right. So then Brandy's going to get mad at me because my number 7 is Pumpkin Eater. Didn't have a lot of scare actors. The pumpkin smell was great. There was no weight, but other than that,
For me, it was Into the Depths.
Yeah. Unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
Done.
I mean, I think it might have had to do with there was like, it was one of those things where, like, if you're not out in front, you know, and you everybody scares the people in front of you, like, to me, that one wasn't really that great.
Yeah.
No, see, I disagree. I'll discuss why when it gets to my top picks.
We'll get to that. My number 6 was Special Ops Infected. It was fun shooting zombies.
I'm sorry, you skipped my 8 and 7.
Sorry. What are your 8 and 7?
So, John, why don't you say your 6 and I'll say mine.
I think Red Barn, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then followed by?
What was the...
So your number 6 was Red Barn.
Yeah.
All right, Brandy, what are your number 8 and 7?
Okay, so 8 would be Shadowlands. And then 7 would be Infected.
Okay. And then your number 6?
Oh, my number 6. So let's see. After we got Red Barn, Shadowland. What was my other one? Oh, Infected. And so let's see. Next, if I had to skip one, what would I skip next? Would probably be Trick or Treat.
Okay. All right. So we'll get into our top 5 here. My number 5, Dark Ride.
I'll go with Dark Ride too.
Dark Ride is number 5. I wanted it to be better. Like, there was some really cool stuff. And, like, as a former ride operator, I thought there was some, like, really, like, true to life stuff, like, in the, like, you know, going through the fan rooms and the shop. And, like, I thought that was pretty cool, but it was okay. I was expecting a little bit more out of it, but
there's a lot more people, like, dancing.
I'm actually going to say Pumpkin Eater for that.
For your number 5. All right. Yeah. I did enjoy the dancing, like, room, like the main showroom. Yeah. So, yeah. My number 4 was Dark Entities.
I'll go with Pumpkin Eater now.
Ah, it's your number 4, really? Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know why. I just like that one. There's like this part where there's rats going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, I like that one. I think it just means something special to me.
What's your number 4?
I'm going to go with, did I say Trick or Treat?
You have not.
Yeah, Trick or Treat.
Okay. My number 3 is Trick or Treat because it freaks me the hell out when the lights go out. And I did not enjoy that one, and it scared the crap out of me.
What was the first one we went on?
Dark Entities.
Dark Entities, that would be...
That's what I was going to say, too, is Dark Entities.
Your number 3, all right. My number 2 was Paranormal Inc. That had some really...
That's my number 2.
Really great scares in there.
My number 2 is Trick or Treat.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. That was... I walked out, and the first thing I said when I walked out of that house was, I did not like that.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the lights going out. Paranormal Inc. had some great scares. It has some great surprises. So I thought that was really good. And then my number 1 is The Depths. That's some really neat stuff with
and
lighting.
That is my number 1.
Yeah.
The lighting was amazing.
Yeah, there's some really cool stuff in
great
there.
Great effects. So yeah. I guess, John, what's your number 1?
John, what's your number 1?
Paranormal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it makes sense.
That's a very good maze. I totally disagree with you putting The Depths down so far, like where you did.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wasn't impressed.
All right.
But how could you not be impressed with like you're in a swamp?
But
it's not really water.
Yeah, and the way that they do it,
they slowly come up.
Talking about like different like levels and things like that. Like there's a whole like area where you go into a ship and the ship is rocking, and it's just, there was a giant like squid in there, like an animatronic squid. It was really
sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was really really well done. So I was super impressed by it. So, all right, any final thoughts on?
Can't wait for next year.
Can't wait for next year. Also. We're going to take Karen. You're going to take Karen next year.
We're going to kidnap her.
If I have to pay for her ticket, we're going to kidnap Karen and take her. So
I will definitely go on that adventure. I want to see that.
And we'll take Aaron with us, and it'll be great. So, all right. Well, thank you guys. That's going to wrap up our discussion on all of our thoughts on the Halloween haunt things this year. I'm hoping before Halloween, we'll get Karen in here and we'll talk about Mickey's Halloween party because we did go to that, and that was a lot of fun in a very, very different way. So, Thank you very much. Make sure to connect. You can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, our Instagram, VL Podcast, our Twitter account, @vacationlandshow, or you can email us if you want to enter that contest, vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure to visit our YouTube channel by searching the Vacationland Podcast. And if you're listening to us on iTunes or watching us on YouTube, please make sure to like, rate, and subscribe. We have a ton of videos coming up, including our trips to SeaWorld, Not Scary Farm, and Mickey's Halloween Party. I'd like to thank all of our guests for joining us today. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, John. And thank you, Aaron. We know that there are lots of podcasts out there, and we'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us. So, on behalf of all of us here, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Vacation Land.